Amen. I want to share this morning about knowing the plans of the Lord. How many want to know the plans of the Lord? Amen. So I want to share about knowing the plans of the Lord. There's a very popular scripture from Jeremiah 29, which is our main text. We have it, I think, on a little display in our lobby area there. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." So that's where I'm coming from, that God has plans for us, that he knows the people of Israel, they were taken into exile, and they were perhaps wondering, does God really know what's happening? Does he still have plans for us? And the Lord gave them this assurance that, I know the plans I have for you, and I'm going to bring these plans to pass. And so I want to share from that as a main passage, but to give you some background and other things to it so that it makes a lot more sense. So looking at the background, again, we know this is in Jeremiah 29. So it's written by Jeremiah. Jeremiah was called as a youth to be a prophet by the Lord. It says in Jeremiah 1, verse 6, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm too young. You must go to everyone I send you and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. Then the word of the Lord came to me, what do you see, Jeremiah? I see the branch of an almond tree, I replied. The Lord said to me, you have seen correctly. I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. Some version says, I am watching for my word to fulfill it. So the Lord called Jeremiah from he was a youth, this version says, which means he was perhaps in his teenage years. As a young man, God called him. And the Lord told him that, listen, I have set you apart from you and your mother's womb for this purpose, for this ministry. And here we have it. God touched Jeremiah's mouth. And as I reflected on this week, I also thought about Isaiah, who had an experience of the angel taking a coal from off the altar and purifying his mouth, his lips. And here for Jeremiah, God touched his mouth, touched his lips, and as it were, sanctified his lips and declared to him, I put my word into your mouth that you might speak it. And I believe it's important for all of us to realize the value of our mouth and our lips, to ensure that our mouth and our lips declare the things that God wants us to speak, that our mouth and our lips are sanctified by the Lord, that we allow God to touch our mouth and our lips so that we speak the things that God wants us to speak and not the things that the enemy would want us to declare. James says in his book that it's not right that both cursing and blessing should come from the same mouth. So from our mouth, from my mouth, from your mouth should only come the words of God. The words that God will watch over to fulfill. The words that God will want to see established that his name is glorified. So Jeremiah had this assurance when God called him that if he spoke God's word, that God would bring it to pass. And God didn't tell him that the words he'd give him would always be nice and pleasant. Because if you read the book, you know that sometimes Jeremiah had some hard things that God told him to speak. But nonetheless, he had to speak them, and God said he would fulfill them. He was called to be a prophet over nations and kingdoms. And it seemed that through his prophetic ministry, he would cause nations to fall and nations to rise. He'd pull down and pluck up and plant and things like that. Out of his prophetic role, prophetic office, he was given this authority by the Lord, which I think is an authority also passed on to the church. When the Lord said to Peter, I've given you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound already in heaven. I think that's an authority that's been given to the church. That if we, the church, would understand who we are in the hand of God and would declare the word of God when God tells us to speak, that we would see miracles occur. We'd see things change. By the way, some of you might have forgotten how to say amen. You know, when you're listening by Zoom, nobody hears when they say amen, so they might have gotten used to us being quiet. But now that you're back together, it's quite all right, you know. Amen. Oh, help us, Lord. So we've been given this authority to speak God's word, and God says he's watching over it to perform it. Some of the background is that the Lord actually called Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is the one under whom Judah was taken into exile. And God called him his servant. It's there in Jeremiah 27 that God called Nebuchadnezzar, a heathen king, his servant, because God was going to use him to fulfill God's purpose. And part of what God wanted to do for Israel because of their sin was to take them into exile. He had warned them and warned them way back from Deuteronomy. And he was going to use Nebuchadnezzar as a servant to take them into exile. And Jeremiah prophesied this. And Jeremiah told them that, listen, your time in exile is going to be 70 years. Wow. Nobody wants to hear that type of word. 70 years, Lord? And there were false prophets around, like Ananiah, who said, no, don't listen to Jeremiah. It's only going to be 2 years. It's going to blow over. Before you know it, you're back home. No, don't listen to Jeremiah. He's not talking from the Lord. But Jeremiah stood his ground, and eventually the Lord actually removed Hananiah within months of him bringing that false prophecy. As I was reflecting on this and I reflected on the pandemic, you know, some people thought a couple of weeks is going to blow over. We'll get through this now. Maybe 3 weeks max. Now I think most of us realize, no. By the way, this virus is going to be with us for a while. The pandemic will pass, I believe that. But just like other viruses and diseases, polio and measles, it's going to be with us for a while. We'll develop vaccines and we'll develop treatment, so it won't be as scary. But it's going to be with us for a while. So we just need to realize that. But the people were saying, the false prophets were saying to Israel, it's just a couple of years and everything's going to be fine. No, it wasn't. And that's the background in which Jeremiah brought this word to the people. You're going to go into exile. You're going to be there for 70 years. But in the midst of that, God is going to do something in your life. And he sent this letter. He sent this prophet as a letter to the exiles. He was still back in Jerusalem, but some had already been taken. They were taken in different groups into exile. And he sent this letter to let them know, listen, you're going to be there for a while. So, back now to Jeremiah 29, verse 4. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those that are carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in numbers, do not decrease. Verse 7 says, also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have called you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. So this is part of the word to the exiles. The Lord is saying to them, you're going to be there for a while. Get out of your mind that you're living here in 2 years. You're going to be here there for a while. So build homes and settle down. Get it into your mind you're going to be here. So if you're going to be here for a while, you need to establish yourselves. You need to become more stable in your thinking. This is not a short-term thing. Be establishing yourselves. Raise up godly families. He says, allow your sons and your daughters to marry. And he wasn't saying marry outside of Israel. He was saying basically marry other Jews. But raise up families. Can I tell you, in this pandemic time, it's a good time to put an emphasis on reaching your families and maintaining a relationship with your families, in building up your families. Some of you have been isolated and the people that are around you are family members. It's a great opportunity to impact them and to input into their lives. Don't miss the opportunity. It's a great opportunity. The enemy might have thought that you become frustrated, but if you realize, but here, I have my kids around me all day long. I can plant the word of God into their lives. I can cause them to understand and see things differently. It's a great opportunity. They don't have anywhere to go. So they might as well listen to you and all of your stories on how God has worked into your life over the years. And so God was saying to Israel, you're going to be in exile, but you need to realize that I want you to increase while you're there. I mean, that's contrary to what you'd expect. You'd expect them to decrease. But God is saying, no, while you're there, increase. Because there's something about God and his people. He always wants there to be an increase among his people. When he talks about his kingdom, he says, of the increase of his kingdom of peace, there shall be no end. So what that says to me is that for us as God's people, in the midst of whatever is happening, we should expect there to be an increase. We should expect there to see lives being changed and people being drawn into the kingdom of God. Isn't that amazing? So rather than things shrinking, it should be an opportunity for things to increase. If you look into the nations with a lot of persecution, you find the church on the increase. They say right now that Iran is where the church is increasing the fastest. And they're there under all sort of persecution. The church is on the increase in China, and they're there all under all sort of persecution. And I believe that coming out of this pandemic, we will see an increase in the church. We'll see more lives being transformed, more people being brought into the kingdom of God. More people start to realize that there's fertility outside of the kingdom of God. That the only thing that stands sure, as I shared before, is the kingdom of God. Everything else will be shaken, but the kingdom of God will remain firm. It's a time to prepare the next generation, to teach your children and prepare them. To seek, he says in verse 7, the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have sent you. Now that goes contrary to natural inclination. Because if you're taken against your will into exile, you are thinking that, you know, if things go bad, these people might just send us back home. I mean, if things go hard times and they can only take care of their families, they might say, you know, you Jews, you better just go back home. And they might treat you like how the guys treated Jonah. Things are going bad since you guys have come here, so just get out of here. But that's not what God said to them. God said, pray for the prosperity of the city to which I've sent you. Because in that city's prosperity lies your prosperity. God has a different way of thinking. So seek for the peace and prosperity of the city which I've carried you. Pray to the Lord for it. Because if it prospers, you too will prosper. You know, one of the things that this pandemic has shown to most of us is that there's a link between the church and the community in which we find ourselves. Yes, we are the people of God, and yes, we have his grace and his protection and everything, but when there's isolation, the church ends up being in isolation too. We are able to meet like this because in our county, as far as I know, so far, there are no positive cases. If you're in the middle of New York City, you wouldn't have the same freedom. So the church is really inextricably linked to what happens in your community. We're not just there by ourselves, but we are part of the community. And therefore, for all of us, we need to be praying for the prosperity of our community, because if this community prospers, we too will prosper. See? We need to be praying for our leaders, because if they make good decisions, we will benefit from the good decisions that they make. And if they make not so good decisions, we also are going to be affected. So we have to be praying for those who lead us. Pray for our governors. Pray for our mayors. Pray for our elected officials. Because we are part of the community. We're not just by ourselves. And that's what God was trying to say to his people. That, listen, you're going to be there for 70 years. So stop thinking in short term. You're going to be there for a long time. So you might as well pray for your city. Because if your city prospers, you're going to prosper. And when you leave that place, when I call you back to Israel, you're going to leave that place wealthy. You're going to leave that place with much. You're going to leave there with more than you were brought, than you brought there. That's God's way of thinking. He changes things. So pray for your exiled city. Israel's well-being was linked to the city's well-being. And we have many, I put here in my notes, many biblical examples of this. You know, Daniel, he was taken into exile. He was one of the young men taken into exile. But Daniel worked and functioned for the well-being of the king. If you look at how Daniel even interpreted dreams, he was like one time saying to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, I wish this dream was for your enemy. And he advised Nebuchadnezzar, says, listen, you need to turn your life around, stop doing evil, and worship and serve the God whom I serve. But he was always looking out for the well-being of the king and for the place where he was. So much so that he was elevated and put in positions of authority because the king and others trusted him. Look out for the well-being of your city. I have a scripture from Ezra chapter 6. When they were sending back the exiles, I know they were building the temple. And Cyrus was one who had said you could go back. And things had stopped. I know Darius is king. And the people were concerned, should we allow the Israelites to continue to build? And this is what Darius says in Ezra chapter 6 and verse 9. Whatever is needed, young bulls, rams, male lambs for burnt offering to the God of heaven, and wheat, salt, wine, and olive oil as requested by the priests in Jerusalem must be given to them daily without fail, so that they may offer sacrifices pleasing to the God of heaven and pray for the well-being of the king and his son. In other words, Darius had the confidence that the Jews would pray for the well-being of the king and his sons. And the Jews weren't going to say, Lord, remove them and strike them down. But rather, the Jews would pray, God bless them. God open their eyes. Cause them to prosper. And that's why Darius and others could come and support Israel. And it should be the same for the church. That our leaders should know that the church is here to pray for the well-being of you, Mr. Governor, you, Mr. Mayor. We are here to pray for the well-being of our city, for jobs to come, for things to improve. And that the city's well-being, we are concerned about it. So that they can have confidence in us when we come to them with suggestions, that we're not here to try and undercut them or undermine them, but we're here to help them to be a success. And you can go on throughout the Old Testament and you'll find many examples. People like Joseph, Potiphar, and Pharaoh and others had confidence in Joseph because they knew Joseph was there looking out for the well-being of those who were in leadership. And they weren't compromising. Daniel wasn't compromising his faith, but he was still looking out for the well-being. Mordecai, Esther, and others. They weren't compromising their faith, but they could still, in the midst of that, look out for the well-being of the place where God had placed them. So God said he had some plans for them, to bring them back from exile. Plans to cause them to prosper. So all of these things, when God is telling them how to pray, he's going to not just prosper them when they come back 70 years later. No, what God is saying, you're going to exile, but I'm going to cause you to prosper even in exile. Even in the midst of hardship, even in the midst of difficulties, I'm going to cause you to prosper. Amen. That's the type of God that we serve. He's going to cause his blessings to surround us. I mean, Laban discovered this about Jacob, that once Jacob came and started to work for him, he started to prosper. Our city should know that once we as a church of God start to function and pray for them, that things are going to change, that jobs are going to come. So he says he's going to cause them to prosper. He has plans for them to prosper, not to harm them. So yes, you're going to go through some difficulties. Yes, you're going to go into exile. But don't have your head down as if because you're in exile, things are just going to go down, 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 downhill. Lord is saying, no. While you're in exile, I'm going to cause you to increase in number. While you're in exile, I'm going to cause you to prosper. While you're in exile, I'm going to cause you to have favor with those who are in authority. So he says, I have some plans for you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. When you leave this land, you're not leaving that land empty-handed. Just like when Israel left Egypt, they didn't leave empty-handed. Just as when you go through this pandemic, God is not going to cause you to come out empty-handed. He's going to cause you to come out blessed. Cause you to come out being able to testify to his goodness and his mercy and his grace. Oh, praise him. How much time does he have? So the Lord says some other things are going to happen. I'm going to give you a hope. And his ultimate hope was actually in the person of the Messiah. He's going to give them a destiny. It says in Jeremiah 33, as Jeremiah went on to prophesy, he says in Jeremiah 33 and verse 15, "In those days and at that time, I'll make a righteous branch sprout from David's line, and he'll do what is just and right in the land." So Jeremiah said to them, "Listen, while you're there in exile, I want you to know that God has some plans for you as a nation, that from you shall come a Messiah. From you, the kingdom of God shall be established. This is not the end. You're just passing through something, and there is change on the way. Just hold fast, go through these 70 years, pray for the city you're in, be good citizens, and watch me work." That's what God was basically saying to them. Oh, help us, Lord. He says to them in Jeremiah 31, that part of this I'm going to reestablish, I'm going to renew covenant with you. Jeremiah 31, verse 31, Lord says, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with the ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them." So the Lord is saying to them, "Listen, you're going into exile, but let me tell you something. I have plans to establish a new covenant with you, my people. Not like the covenant from the times of your ancestors, but a new covenant." He goes on in Ezekiel to say, "In this new covenant, I'm going to take away your stony heart and give you a heart of flesh." He goes on to say in Ezekiel, "Within this new covenant, I'm going to put my spirit inside of you." So he's giving them all of these promises while they're going into exile. "Listen, things are going to be different. I'm going to do something new in your life." Now, he didn't tell them at that time, but you and I know that it was more than just for them. It was more than just for Israel and Judah. It was to include and does include all of us. Because the Messiah came for all of us, and we are all part of this new covenant. We all have the Spirit of God dwelling inside of us. But he declared these promises because they were going into exile and things were looking dark. And he was like, "Don't look at the darkness. Look at the promises I have for you. I'm going to bring you through." Amen. And that's important for us because God will allow us to go through some difficulties and some trials and some testings. Some of you are going through it now in different ways. Perhaps financial, perhaps with some of your family members. Perhaps with your health or whatever it is. And you need to look beyond those immediate circumstances and believe God for the fulfillment of his promises. That nothing can hinder what God says. That's what he was saying to Jeremiah. "I'm watching over my word to fulfill it, to bring it to pass. It might look like it's impossible. How is this going to happen when we're going to go into exile?" And God is like saying, "Listen, I'm going to watch my word to fulfill it." Oh, help us. Back to Jeremiah 29, as I try and bring things around. Verse 10. This is what the Lord says. "When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place." And that's when he says, "I know the plans that I have for you." Then verse 12. "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me and I will listen. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I'll bring you back from captivity and I'll gather you from all the nations and places we have banished you, declares the Lord. And bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile." Jeremiah 30, the next chapter and verse 17. "But I'll restore to you health and heal your wounds, declares the Lord. Because you are called an outcast, then for whom no one cares." Verse 18, this is what the Lord says. "I will restore the fortunes of Jacob's tent and have compassion on his dwellings. The city will be rebuilt on her ruins and the palace will stand in its proper place." So God is saying, "Listen, I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to work in your life in such a way that when you seek me with all your heart, you're going to find me." Now, this promise wasn't, God wasn't saying to them, "Listen, wait for 70 years and then seek me." I think God was saying to them, even in the midst of your captivity, in the midst of your exile, if you seek for me with all of your heart, you're going to find me. Amen. Amen. You know what God is saying? "I'm not abandoning you. You can experience me and encounter me in real supernatural ways. in the midst of whatever you're going through. My Lord. He says, when you call on me and come to me to pray, I will listen. It's like what we were saying Wednesday night with Peter, that the ears of the Lord are open to the cries of his people. That's what he's saying to that. In the midst of your exile, in the midst of hardships, I'm going to work in your life that when you pray, you're going to see answers to your prayer. You're going to see miracles. And the book of Daniel shows us that. As in the midst of exile, Daniel was put in the lion's den and God shut them out of the land. Miracles. The Hebrew boys were put in the burning fire and God caused them not to be singed at all or smell of smoke in the midst of their difficulties. And so in the midst of whatever you're going through, friends, whether it's a direct cause of this pandemic or for some other reasons, have the assurance in your heart that if you call on the Lord, if you seek after him with all of your heart, you will find him. He will intervene in your life and in your circumstances. He wants to hear the cry of our hearts. That's the type of God we serve. We're already in the new covenant. His presence is already with us. The writer of Hebrews, in fact, some of the scriptures that are quoted there is written in Hebrews, and he talks about the new covenant. And the writer of Hebrews says we have better promises than the promises of the old covenant. God is us eager to show himself strong. And so I want to encourage us. I'm going to ask Sean to come on back. I want to encourage us this morning that no matter what you're going through, in the midst of this, don't allow depression, don't allow isolation to conquer you, but instead use the opportunity to seek the face of the Lord. Use the opportunity to draw near to God. There perhaps is less demand for some of you on your time. Some of us is more demand if you're teaching online like I have been. But for some of you, it's less demand on your time, which gives you a little bit more time to go after the things of God. Make sure you spend time depositing things into your family members who are all around you. Helping them to see the hand of God. Raising up a generation. Seeking to increase and not decrease in this time. Praying for the welfare and well-being of our city, our community. Stop cursing our community and rather pray a blessing upon our community. Now we can see it's a blessing that, you know, in some other places where you have all the other things going on, they have a lot more cases going on. But here, maybe we're a sleepy town. Thank God we're a sleepy town. Amen. Let's just stand this morning. I think it was our governor or someone asked the church to pray today for our state. And I believe we are privileged as a people to have people who are leading in a secular way asking the church to pray. They're not doing this to win elections. They're doing this because they actually believe that God will hear the prayers of his people. And so I'm going to encourage us, just take a minute, each of us, and just say a prayer for our city. Say a prayer for our leaders, our mayors, our senators, our elected officials, our representatives, our governor. Just take a minute, as Sean plays on the guitar, just take a minute and lift up our community to the Lord. And pray that in the midst of this, that a revival will break forth, that people will come to know the Lord.